الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وعترته وأهل بيته. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Islam and Christianity have shared a very long history, which has been characterized at times with peace and by peace and cooperation, and by some other times, at some other times, by enmity and mistrust. Muslims have been in contact with Christians, Christian communities, and Jewish communities, and other communities since the beginning of the inception of Islam. Among the first people that the Prophet dealt with, among the first after his ordination as a prophet, were prominent Christians of the Meccan community, and likewise of the Medinan community as well. The Prophet was known to send letters, to send ambassadors to Christian leaders. The Prophet was known to have cordial relationships with Christian leaders as well. And throughout history, we find that Muslims have maintained relationships with Christians, Muslim communities with Christian communities, Muslim leaders with Christian leaders, Muslim citizens with Christian governments, Christian citizens with Muslim governments. And some of these relationships have been characterized again by with friendliness and cooperation, and others have not. But there is no doubt that some of the most significant events in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam were events or cases in which the Prophet had dialogue and relationships with Christian leaders and Christian community members. Among the first people to give refuge to the Muslims were the Christians in Abyssinia. When the Muslims first emerged as a community of faithful believers in 7th century Arabia, and when they were persecuted by the Meccan elite, who were polytheists, who followed polytheistic traditions, when they were persecuted at that time of oppression and persecution, they sought refuge in a nearby kingdom, the kingdom of Abyssinia, Habasha in Arabic, who at the time was ruled by a Christian king who was known as An-Najashi. And This caravan, this migration, which is referred to in Islamic history as the first migration, the first hijrah, this migration was comprised of a group of early Muslims who left Mecca and went towards Habasha, Abyssinia. And they were led by Ja'far, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad and the brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And when they arrived there, they sought refuge from the Christian king, and they expressed to him, because he had inquired about the nature of their new faith, they expressed to him their belief in Jesus, the Messiah, their belief in Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the king, the Christian king, saw the extent of the similarities between their faith and his faith, he accepted them as refugees. And when they were chased, because even when they arrived to Abyssinia, they were chased there by the polytheists from Mecca. The Meccans sent an emissary to the Christian king to request that these people, this new community, be brought back to Mecca in order to be tried for judgment. But he refused to give them back. Some narrations indicate that this Christian king, in secrecy, accepted Islam. And that when he passed away, the news of his passing away was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment it happened, the instant that it happened. And so when the Prophet received news of his passing away, he wept for him and he lamented him. This was the extent of the relationship that they had with one another. When the Muslims, the Prophet and his followers, left Mecca after 13 years of him being ordained as a Prophet, when the second hijrah, the second migration took place, the migration from Mecca to Medina, the original immigrants who had left Mecca and gone towards Habasha had stayed there. And after a few years, after the community of believers in Medina were able to build themselves to self-sustainability, so community which was self-sustainable, which was able to produce for itself and able to protect itself, it became time for those immigrants, the original immigrants, to migrate to Mecca, to Medina. But during that entire time, they sought refuge under a Christian king. This was one of the most significant events in early Islamic history in which Muslims sought refuge under a Christian leader. So this is one example of cooperation and the peace and the goodwill which existed between the two communities from the earliest days. Among the people of the book, the Christians have a special place. They enjoy a special status. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5, verse 82, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers that you will find among the closest people to you, among the friendliest people to you, among those who are most cooperating with you, are the ones who say, "Inna Nasara," we are Christians. And so the Quran attests to this fact. What is the Islamic view on Christianity? The Islamic view on Christianity is, number one, that it is a religion which originally is revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, is mentioned in the Quran 59 times. And the number one, the prophet who is mentioned most in the Quran is by name is the Prophet Musa. Other prophets as well. And the Prophet Isa is mentioned by name 59 times, more than our own Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And he is referred to as Al-Masih ibn Maryam, the Messiah, son of Mary. In Islam, the term Messiah, Masih, is reserved exclusively for Isa. Even though we believe that at the end of times, we will witness the reappearance of the 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. However, the term Messiah is reserved exclusively for Isa. So when the term Al-Masih is mentioned in the Quran, it refers exclusively to Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary. Maryam, there is an entire chapter in the Quran which is dedicated to her, Surah Maryam. And this chapter describes her story of how she left her people and how she gave a miraculous birth, how she delivered Isa, and how she brought him back to her people. And one miracle is mentioned in the Quran, which is actually not mentioned in the Gospel. And that is that when Maryam brought Isa to her people, people began to speculate. And they began to point fingers at her. And they began to make judgments about her. They told her, Ya Ukhta Harun, when she showed up with this child because she was unmarried, Ya Ukhta Harun, Ma kana abuki imra'a saw'in, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. O sister of Harun, Aaron, your father was not an evil man, he was not deviant, nor was your mother. Where did you bring this from? All of a sudden, you've left us, and all of a sudden you've showed up with a child in a crib, a baby in a crib. And so she points to him. She could not defend herself at that moment. So she points to him, and miraculously, he speaks to them. He says, Inni Abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya. I am the servant of God. He has given me the book, and he has ordained me as a prophet. This is something which is mentioned in the Quran, exclusively in the Quran. So Isa alayhi salam holds a special status. He is known as the Messiah. He is among those who will reappear at the end of time in order to fulfill the message or fulfill the mission of يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا بَعْدَ أَنْ مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. To fill the earth with qist, with justice, with adl, ba'da an muli'at dhulman wa jawra, after it has been filled with oppression and injustice. And of course, he will be among, according to ahadith, one of a few other prophets, and it will be his job, alongside the 12th Imam, it will be his task to fight the Antichrist and to establish peace and justice on earth. Going back to the relationship between Muslims and Christians, the Quran in chapter number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 59, describes the first get-together, the first organization of what we today know as interfaith dialogue. Today we're involved in interfaith dialogue. This sort of dialogue existed 1400 years ago, and the Quran speaks about it. And this is a very special ayah, chapter number 3, verse number 59, also referred to as ayat al-mubahala, in that a group of Christians came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in Medina. And they wanted to debate with the Prophet the nature of the birth of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. These Christians who originated from Najran came to Medina and they gathered with the Prophet. And they began to debate the Prophet. Their argument was that Isa must be considered the Son of God. He must be considered divine because he was born without a father through immaculate conception. And we as Muslims believe this. We believe that he was born, you know, through the Immaculate Conception. And we believe in Mary as a virgin. And so their argument was that based on this evidence that we both accept, both of the sides of the argument, both of the sides of the debaters, we accept this. So we might as well come to the logical conclusion that he is the Son of God. Now earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in an earlier verse, tells the Prophet that if this is their argument, that Isa is the Son of God because he is born without a father and through Immaculate Conception, then we both agree, in the same way that we both agree he was born in that fashion, we both agree that another individual, Adam, was born with both, without a father and mother. And so, if anyone was worthy or befitting of being the Son of God based on that logic, then it would be Adam, because Adam was born without a father and without a mother. So, they debated amongst themselves, and they were not able to reach an agreeable conclusion. And so the next verse, and this is verse number 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then let us get together. Let us get together. And let us perform what is known as, in the Arabic language, as mubahala, mutual imprecation. Now, this concept may seem, distant or uncommon for many, but in that specific historical context and cultural context, when two people get together and they argue, and they're unable to reach a conclusion, they perform what is known as mubahala. So if they're believers in God, they get together, and they call upon God, they say that if we are the liar, each person says that if I am the liar, then may God's curse be upon me. The other side does the same as well. So they call upon God's curse upon themselves if they are liars. So they got together and they performed the mubahala. But in the Quran, in this verse, it says exactly how we should carry out this mubahala. You know, usually people, especially today with language, you find every other word is, you know, I swear. People say, I swear this and I swear that and this happened and that happened. In this verse, there are conditions which say that no, if you're going to, you know, go through with this, there are strict conditions that you have to follow. So it says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ. Let's call from both sides. Let us gather together. Let us bring our sons and your sons, and our women and your women, وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءُكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ, and ourselves and yourselves. And we shall gather together and perform the mubahala. We should call upon God's curse upon ourselves if we are the liars. So they got together, and after having this debate, after having this, you know, as we call it today, interfaith dialogue, if you will, they brought the most important people to them. The selves, the mother, the woman, and the sons. And so according to multiple narrations, according to multiple ahadith, it is said that the Christians brought their families with them. They brought their dear, those who are dear to them, the people who are close to them, their loved ones with them, in order to attend this important event, the mubahala. And on the side of the Muslims, the Prophet, representing himself, came by himself, and he brought with him those who were most dear to him. Remember what the Prophet is doing here. And remember what the others are doing here. They're getting together to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to curse them if they're liars. This isn't something which is very simple for the Prophet to do, to call curse upon himself if he is a liar. On top of that, he brings the most important people with him, which proves his sincerity and which proves their greatness. So he brings with him, in the place of his sons, he brings with him Hassan and Hussein. They are considered the sons of Rasulullah. In the place of his women, he brings only one woman, Fatima alayhi salam, no one else, his beloved daughter. And in the place of himself, his nafs, he brings himself, and he brings another self of himself, and that is his cousin, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And they get together to perform the mubahala, One of the leaders on the Christian side, he comments in the commentary. He says that the Prophet brought along with him people who had faces which were extraordinary. We knew that when the Prophet brought these people with him, we didn't know who they were. But when the Prophet brought these people with him, we knew of their significance. We knew that the Prophet was very serious in this matter. So this verse both speaks about the mubahala, the mutual imprecation and the debate, but it also gives merit and it gives a very high status to those who were with the Prophet, and they were none other than Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. In terms of treatment, it was the policy of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to treat their neighbors, their Christian neighbors, their Christian friends, those whom they lived with, those whom they worked with, those whom they governed over, with the utmost respect. Imam Ali alayhi salam, upon becoming Khalifa, sent a message to his representative, his governor, in the city of Basra, and he says that no, because Basra, from that time and until today, always had a variety in culture, and religion, and language, and practice. And so there were many Christians living there, and until today there are Christian communities living there. And so he sent a directive to his governor in Basra, saying that, know that any person who harms a Christian, know that they are also harming me. Me, the leader. The leader of this ummah is hurt when a Christian in his community is hurt. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says the following in his hadith. He says that if a Muslim denies or rejects Jesus while accepting all other prophets, his faith will not be complete. And this is based on the verse in the Quran. This is chapter number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 136, the verse which I read in the beginning, and I'll read the translation. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, say, we believe in Allah, and in that which had been revealed to us, and in that which was revealed to Ibrahim, number one, Ibrahim, and Ismail, and Ishaq, and Ya'qub, and the tribes, the followers of the prophets. And in that which was given to Musa and Isa, and in that which was given to the prophets from their Lord, we do not make any distinction between them, between any of them, and to him do we submit. So a Muslim is the one who believes in the messages of the prophets which came before, including Musa, Isa, Ibrahim, Nuh, Ismail, Ishaq, Ya'qub. And in conclusion, the message, the final message, and that is the message of Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
So we believe in the prophets. We take from their messengers. We take from their messages. We try to identify ourselves and assimilate ourselves with their message. Now, today happens to be the day of Christmas. And if I remember, if my memory serves me correctly, the last year, I believe Christmas also fell on a Friday. And by complete coincidence, I was giving the khutbah. It was complete coincidence. And I shared with the community some words. These words, these ahadith are found in the hadith corpus, in the Islamic hadith corpus. You know that our Prophet narrated many of the ahadith which were reflective of the practices of the prophets that came before. So the Prophet narrates the story of Ibrahim and the encounters of Ibrahim, and this is also narrated in the Quran. But not only their stories which are narrated in the Quran, but further than that, the hadith, because these were prophets, messengers of God, and God spoke to these men, and the Prophet, if anyone, has the knowledge of the conversations which took place between Allah and these prophets. There's a set of hadith, and these hadith speak of the munajat that the prophet Musa had with his Lord. So when Musa left his people for 40 days, originally it was 30 days, but then another 10 days was added. For 40 days, when Musa spoke to his Lord at the Miqat, the conversations that he had with Allah were known as the Munajat. And these Munajat are narrated through the authority of our Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. This is one example. Isa alayhi salam also had many hadith, many sayings, in which he would speak to his disciples, he would speak to his followers, he would speak to people that he would come across on a daily basis. So let's share some of those, and we'd like to look at the character of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. In one of his hadith he says, "He who seeks worldly things is like the man who drinks seawater. The more he drinks, the more thirsty he becomes until it kills him." Isa alayhi salam is undoubtedly known as a man of very humble means and very humble beginnings. And so much of the ahadith in which we find, whether taken from the Bible or whether taken from our own corpus, reflect this sort of attitude that he had, the attitude of humility. Although unfortunately today, the way his birth is celebrated is in the opposite way, by indulging, for the most, not for many people, not for all people I mean, but for many, indulging in materialism and gaining, material gains. And I had read somewhere that the day after Christmas, many people know that the day of Christmas, December 25th, the day after Christmas also has its own name. In some areas it's known as something like National Whining Day, because people whine about the gifts that they received on Christmas. So lots of returns, and if you're trying to go shopping, tomorrow is the day. So Isa alayhi salam is known as is reflected, the reflection that we have from these ahadith is that he's a man of very humble means. He was not a man of this world. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says in his hadith that be in this world, but do not be of this world. Meaning that live here on earth, don't have your head in the clouds, don't live in the deserts or the mountains. Be among people, but do not be of this world. Do not be characterized that you are of this world. And one of my personal favorite narrations, which is attributed to Isa alayhi salam, says that one day a man once accompanied him, saying to him, a man found Isa alayhi salam, and he wanted to accompany him. So he said to him, "I want to be with you and be your companion." This is what he said to Isa. They set forth and reached the bank of a river, where they sat down to eat. They had with them three loaves of bread that they can share amongst themselves. They ate two loaves, and the third remained. There was one that remained. Jesus then rose and went to the river to drink. When he returned, he did not find the third loaf. So he asked the man, "Who took the loaf?" "I do not know," the man replied. Jesus set forth once more with the man, and he saw a doe with two of her young. Jesus called one of the two, and it came to him. Jesus then slaughtered it, roasted some of it, and ate with his companion. Then he said to the young deer, "Rise by God's leave." So one of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Isa was that he was able to give life to the dead by the will and by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in the Quran. So he said to the young deer, "Rise by God's leave." The deer rose and left. Jesus then turned to his companion and said, "I ask you, in the name of him who showed you this miracle, who took the loaf?" "I do not know," the man replied. The two of them then came to a body of water in a valley. Jesus took the man by the hand, and they walked upon the water. When they had crossed over, Jesus said to him, "I ask you." So they walked over the water. They crossed over the water. Jesus said to him, "I ask you in the name of him who showed you this miracle, who took the loaf?" "I do not know," the man replied. Then they came to a waterless desert. That's strike two. Then they came to a waterless desert and sat down upon the ground. Jesus began to gather some earth. He gathered some of the dirt in his hand. And he gathered some of the dirt and sand. And then said, "Turn to gold by God's leave." So imagine, he picks up the dirt and the sand, And he says to it, by Allah's will, turn to gold. And it did so. So he transformed dirt and sand right in front of the man's eyes into gold. So he had a fistful of gold in his hand. Jesus, now listen to this part. Jesus divided the gold into three portions and said, a third for me, a third for you, and a third for whoever took the loaf, that third loaf of bread. The man said, it is I who took the loaf. Jesus said, the gold is all yours. Take it all. Take the third for me and the third for you and that final third. Jesus then left him. Two men came upon him in the desert with gold. So now, this man is happy with the three pieces of gold that he has. He's parted ways with Jesus. He's in his own direction. Two men come across him. And they wanted to rob and kill him. He said to them, listen, you guys business, do business. Let's sit down and let's negotiate. They wanted to rob and kill him. He said to them, let us divide it into three portions among us. And send one of you to town to buy us some food to eat. Why don't we sit down, let's have something, you know, something to eat, something to drink, and then we'll get to business. One of them was sent off and then said to himself, why should I divide the gold with those two? Rather, I shall poison the food and have the gold to myself. He went off and did so. Meanwhile, the two who stayed behind said to each other, why should we give him a third of the gold? Instead, let's kill him when he returns. Let's kill him when he returns and divide the money between the two of us. When he returned, they killed him. So now he has the food with him. He purchased the food, he poisoned it. As soon as he brought the food, they killed him. But they can't get up and go, they're hungry now. Killing requires a lot of energy. So they ate the food, might as well eat the food now that he's not there. They ate the food and then they died. So all three of them died. The gold remained in the desert with the three men dead beside it. Jesus passed by later on. He found them in that condition and said to his companions, this is the world, beware of it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is one example of the ahadith which is narrated to us on behalf by way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions of Ahlul Bayt. So Isa alayhi salam is known as a man of morality. He is known as a man of humble means. He lives in this world, but is not of this world. We as Muslims, as per commandment of the Quran, must follow in the example of Isa alayhi salam. We cannot differentiate between him and other prophets. We believe in all of them with full conviction, and that the final prophet, Khatamul Anbiya, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be among those who truly follow in the footsteps of Isa alayhi salam and the prophets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr wa sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Can I ask the brothers to please stand forward and come as close as possible? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وعترته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى صدق نبي الرحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Many of us know about the recent events which have been taking place worldwide, and today I'd like to speak a little bit about the situation which is taking place in the Zaria state in Nigeria. Last year, in 2014, on the 25th of July, during Ramadan, during the last Friday of Ramadan, during the Quds Day protests which took place in that state, the Nigerian Muslims, most of them followers, the overwhelming majority followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, had protested, had gathered and protested, and among their protests was against some of the policies of the current Nigerian government. Many were detained, many were killed. There was a massacre which took place. This event repeated itself only a couple of weeks ago on the 12th of December. One of the leaders, or the main leader of the Nigerian Muslims, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki, who is now, until now, still in detention. He was detained by the government. In the event which took place in 2014, last year, three of his own sons were killed in the protest. Three of his sons who, from what I have read, were studying overseas, pursuing their education, and they were back for the month of Ramadan, and they were caught in the crossfire between the Nigerian government and the protesters. According to some reports, and really not too much information is known, because with many of these cases, as we understand, there is usually a media blackout, so not much information goes in and out. But it seems like one or more in this recent event of his sons were also killed in the event. He is detained and his status is unknown. This world that we live in really is a world full of ironies, where the oppressed are punished and the oppressors are given a blind eye. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Prophets, were always people who stood on the side of the oppressed. Imam Ali alayhi salam said in one of his speeches, he said in one of his directives to his sons, Al-Hasan and Hussein, on his deathbed, he said that, be a protector of the oppressed, and never join hands with the oppressor. Never find yourself on the side of the oppressor. Unfortunately, many of the policies that we see globally, worldwide today, are the exact opposite. And it is very ironic when those who are oppressed are punished for the actions of the oppressor. If you look specifically in Nigeria, Nigeria has now become a hotbed for extremism, groups like Boko Haram. And instead of the government, unfortunately, instead of the government pointing their efforts towards fighting extremism and radicalism, they have turned their weapons, their guns, against civilians who have simply gone out armless to protest against some of these oppressive policies. And so it is our responsibility as their brothers, not only as Shia Muslims, it doesn't matter whether they were Shia Muslims or non-Shia, as human beings, it is our responsibility to speak up against these atrocities, to do whatever is within our ability to help these people. Recent policies, likewise, which are about to be adopted, and we know, since right now in the United States we are in election season, and in election season there's a lot of rhetoric which is spewed, a lot of rhetoric, and what is unfortunate is that even when we have candidates who do not become elected, the rhetoric that they spew, the hatred that they spew, stays in the minds of people, even if they are not people who are elected. Recent policies travel restrictions, unfortunately, these travel restrictions will hurt the people who are truly being oppressed. They are restricting the people who are being oppressed, and unfortunately, they do not punish the oppressor. And so this is a world full of ironies. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, before going out on his mission, he said that, do you not see, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يُعْمَلَ بِهِ وَالْبَاطِلَ لَا يُتَنَهَا عَنْهِ. Do you people not see this irony? That there is good which is not being enjoined, and there is evil which is not being prevented and prohibited. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be among those who have a voice which we lend to the oppressed, a voice which we lend to the voiceless. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to those families. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to our scholars, community leaders such as Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki and others who are in other countries and communities as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to all those who are oppressed across the world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.